Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo, and we're into part 22 today of how to have God's life living in you. A lot of people don't even know what God's life is. They think they have God's life, but a lot of people haven't got the slightest idea what real life is. The life we have before we are united with the Lord is not real life, it's temporal life. And there's only one life in the entire universe that is eternal, and that's the life of God. His life is eternal because he's divine. And divine, a lot of people don't have any idea what the word divine means. Divine is that he is uncreated, he has no beginning, no ending, has no mother or no father. But that he was uncreated. He is, in essence, himself. Himself is the only divine life, the eternal life. His life is eternal because he's divine. And he's divine because he is eternal. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's nothing that can give him a... you can't throw a bomb at him and destroy him. He's never changing. You cannot shoot a bullet up into the sky or send a rocket up, because his life is eternal. He's indestructible. No one can destroy him. No one can give him a blow and knock him down and to change him anyway. If somebody hits us in the head with a pipe, we're changed immediately. Or if somebody puts a bullet in us, we're changed immediately. If we're not saved, we don't have eternal life. But with God, you can't do that to him. Everything in this world is subject to change, but God is not subject to change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is divine. He is eternal. He's eternal because he's divine, and he's divine because he's eternal. He is not changing. You can't do anything to him to destroy him. He never changes. And anyone that is in the body of Christ, anyone that has God's life living in them, becomes part of God's divine life, which is eternal. And it's indestructible. You may kill the body, but you can't kill the spirit of a person, the soul of a person that is with God. It doesn't happen to be, you know, our spirit and God's spirit. What it is it's our spirit with God's spirit. We have to be with him in order to be eternal, in order to be everlasting, in order to be indestructible. He said, well, we can destroy you, we can throw a bomb at you, you can destroy the body, but you cannot destroy the eternal life that lives in us. All right? Now, there's no other life that is eternal in the entire universe but the life of God. Because there's nobody else in the entire universe that is divine. And no one else in the world, in the whole universe, has ever was uncreated. And there's nothing else in the universe that is not subject to change. God never changes. He is indestructible. You can't knock him out. You can't put a bullet through him and hurt him. There's nothing that you can do to him that's going to make him change. And that's why people that have God's life in them are supposed to be unchangeable. They're not supposed to be up one day and down the next. They're never to change. If you have God's life living in you, then you're not up one day and down the next. If you have God's life living in you, you're immortal, eternal. And so the actual meaning of a life is God's life. God is the one that gave everything in the entire universe temporary life. The grass, the herbs, the humans, animals, fish, birds, all these, even the earth itself is waxing old like a garment, and it's going to be totally refurbished. There's nothing in the universe that has permanence but God himself, and that's why we must have God's permanent life living in us in order for us to be permanent, unchangeable, part of his uncreated self, part of his indestructible self. You know, those of us that are going to be in eternity are indestructible. When we're there, God gave me a vision of it because he wanted to encourage me. There isn't anyone else in the entire world that is really encourages you. Most of the people in churches today discourage each other. They are never encouraging anyone. And a lot of people feel that if there's a pastor that is rebuking people, that that's discouraging them. It isn't discouraging. It's an attempt to try to save their miserable souls. They're in misery because they don't have God's life living in them. They're not the same every day. They lust. They have all sorts of things going. They don't have the Spirit of God unchanging. There's some people, they wonder why you favor some people other than others, and they try to make it look as though it's a work thing, that maybe somebody does the dishes and so on, then they say, well, it's a big deal, you know, I do dishes too and everything. It isn't that why you like the other people, the person the most. The one that I like the most are the ones that respond to me, the ones that I see responding to the Lord. When I see people not responding to the Lord or me, I have no use for them whatsoever. They can't figure out. They think it's if they, you know, do a lot of typing or they do a lot of driving of trucks or whatever it is, that you're supposed to never rebuke them no matter what they do. Some of them get so loose that they do all sorts of different things that makes me know that they don't have God's divine, immortal, eternal life living in them, and therefore in a love, the Lord allows me to attempt to wake them up by rejecting them, at least for a spell, in order to wake them up. If they don't care anything about that, then they don't care anything about the Lord. The Lord says for people to fear, if you want to have the life of God in you, you have to respond to everything that the Lord says. You may say that I have stated that there's no rules and regulations. That isn't true. If people were not living in our facilities over here, then there wouldn't be rules and regulations so far as our facilities are concerned. But if you're living in the church's facilities here, you have rules and regulations here just as the same as if you were living at the Beverly Hills Hotel or if you were living down on in the slums someplace. There are rules no matter where you go. If you're in prison or in jail, if you're in reform schools or in the military, there's rules and regulations that you have to keep. And it's the same thing no matter where you are in this world. There are rules and regulations that must be kept. But and especially you, in the spirit, rules and regulations don't seem like a big thing to you. But some people just don't like to do that. A lot of people use churches. You see that no matter what church you go to. I mean, they use, you'll see people saying, well, they don't want to pitch in and help with the work during the day to help clean up and everything before they go witnessing. Some people will say they refuse to work and they like to go out and bench press and work out with the weights. Well, of course, those people are not complying with the rules of, that the Lord has laid down in the church, and therefore they have to leave. The Bible tells us in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation that we must measure everybody in the church here in these last days because there's so many traitors and so many people that spy out our liberty that the Lord has given us, and they want to cause trouble. And if you put them out, they'll go and tell all kinds of lies about you to the civil authorities that are always looking to persecute and to destroy the work of the Lord. And so we have to measure the people to see if they really are of the Lord. And when I see people not caring about authority, and the Lord says that his ministers are the authority, and he's talking about his chief ministers. There are not hundreds of authorities in a church. There is one authority, one pastor, one minister there. Others may minister in a secondary and fourth, thirdly and fourth way, but they're not the ruler. And the Lord tells people to fear the ruler. I had a young man tell me, "I don't fear you, Tony Alamo." I said, "Well, then, you're not of the Lord. The Bible tells you that you have to fear those that have the rule over you. And if you don't have fear enough to keep the rules here that the Lord has told me to lay down, then you have to leave." So the 11th chapter of Revelation says to measure the people. And he was talking about, you know, fist fighting or something like that. He likes to work out in all this. And I just told him, well, that isn't, you know, you shouldn't be thinking of that sort of thing anyway, because everybody knows in the church that I am not a weakling, but I'm not looking, you know, I'm not going to get into pugilism. I'm too smart in the Lord to get involved with something like that. But you'll have to leave if you don't fear what I tell you, because that just shows me that you don't care what the Lord says. And if you don't care what the Lord says, you can't stay here. The 11th chapter of Revelation says put those people out if they don't measure up to the word of God. And so you hear people say, well, I'm no judge, I can't judge. No, but God is, and we as the rulers have to take God's word and judge all things, especially in the church, by God's rule of thumb. He says, measure them with the Bible to see if they're going to comply with the Lord's rules and regulations. If they don't, they're asked to leave. And we will actually take them to where they, you know, if it's in the L.A. church, we take them down to Hollywood or someplace and drop them off. And that's all there is to it. No one can use this church as a crash pad or a place for them to be sponsored to work out with weights and so on. Okay, so so much for this. But if you, there's a lot of people want to know what life is, and you must know, a lot of people don't know what life is. But you don't have life, not eternal life, if you don't have God's, if you're not with God. It's got to be your life with God's life fused in or mingled in with your life in order for your life to be eternal, in order for your life to be divine and eternal and unchangeable. Now, if you're changeable every day, that means you don't have divine, immortal life, because you don't have the life of God. His life, he never changes. Okay, no matter what. Now, we, as I said before, may be destroyed, but if God's life is living in us, we're never destroyed. Amen?
Amen.
This body that we live in is temporary. The grass out on your lawn or across the street, wherever you are, is temporary. It has life, but it's just temporary. And the trees and the fruit on the trees, the birds, the bees, the flowers, the animals, the fish, the fowl, the creeping things, and man only have temporal life. That's all they have. And if you want to live eternally in the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again of the Spirit. You must have God's immortal, eternal, never-changing, everlasting life living in you. If you don't have it, if you're going to start judging with your carnal brain instead of walking in the Spirit, instead of having God's life, immortal life, his divine life living in you, then you're wasting your time. You might as well, people like that are always planning to do something. They're planning to leave when they get on their feet or when they figure out a new way of life so that they could leave the church. Well, they really never get that involved in the church, because they're always scheming on how to get out of the church or how to get so they're never really in the body of Christ. And therefore, they're always scheming and always looking for some kind of a opening, maybe a fleeting glance can say so many lovely things. They're always looking for romance, not for the Lord or his eternal life, Never looking for something in the Lord, his life, which is divine, immortal, eternal, that never changes and is indestructible. They don't want that kind of life. They just keep planning for something that to them is far more marvelous than having God's life living in them. Well, if that's what your goal is, well, then there's no need for you to listen to this program. But if you really want to know how to have God's life living in you, if you really want to know what life is all about, there's no other person in the universe that is able to give you God's eternal, divine, indestructible, unchangeable life but the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way that you can get to God is through the blood of Jesus. Because unless the Lord sees the blood of Jesus on you, he passes over you. He will not, but he'll destroy you. The blood of Jesus makes it possible to approach the throne of the Lord and to be able to get the life of God, the eternal, immortal, unchangeable, indestructible, divine life of God. The only life, indestructible, eternal, never-changing life in the entire universe. It only belongs to those that become divine by having the wine of God's Spirit in them and by living in his body. You can't live outside of his body. You may try to fight that idea of God, which is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And if you do, you just think you're smarter than God and that you're going to fox him all right. That you think he doesn't know what you're up to. He doesn't know what you've got on your mind. If you think those things, well, you're crazy. Okay, I'm telling you the only way, the only truth, the only life. The Bible says that those that have Jesus have life. Amen?
Amen.
If you don't have Jesus, and that is eternal life. And the Bible plainly says that over and over and over again. And I've done a tape on that just a few minutes ago. And we'll be doing that just a little bit later. But right now, let's all go to the throne of the Lord to ask the Lord to outwardly anoint this service. That Father, that you put every word in my mouth that you want the people in Radio Land and in churches and on the website to hear, on radio, everywhere. Lord, we ask that every word comes directly from the throne, because your word is Christ, and he that receives your word has Christ. And if he receives the word, which is Christ, they have life. Your life, immortal life, God's life, living in them. So I pray, Lord, that the people in Radio Land and everywhere that hear this message will receive your life, that they might have eternal life, and that they retain it, as in the church will be reproved. With the reproof of the word of the Lord is the way of life. Lord, we ask us that they may be strengthened and lifted up more and more. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, where's the first letter from?
From Cote d'Ivoire, Africa.
Okay.
I have wanted to meet you for such a long time. Thank God I finally have your address. Your world newsletters that I received from a friend have done me so much good. I am a young evangelist who remarkably appreciates the work of God that you are doing. This has also given me the power to work for the Lord. Could you follow up on me and help me spiritually and be my spiritual father to do the work of God effectively like you? I have won several souls thanks to your newsletters. They are asking for French Bibles and the newsletters. I would like to represent the Alamo Ministry here in the Ivory Coast, where I am serving the Lord in the cities and villages.
Praise the Lord. We really agree with you, brother. We love that. Okay, and then what else?
I have created prayer groups in quite a few villages and cities. I need your help, as I am so young in the service of the Lord. Pastor Tony Alamo, please be my spiritual father. Signed, Evangelist Paul from Cote d'Ivoire, Africa.
Praise the Lord. Make sure this brother gets everything that he's asking for. All right, where's the next letter from, please?
Galesburg, Illinois.
Okay, let's hear it.
Dear Pastor Lamo, I am writing to thank you for continuing to send me the taped messages that you have. I appreciate them very much. It's been 60 days today since my husband passed away, and it hasn't gotten much easier. I try to get through each day by listening to your gospel tapes. I was wondering if you could send me the CDs of your tapes.
Well, yes, you know, like the Bible tells, you know, that there's all kinds of different discouragements that come our way every day. We can take one figure out of the Bible, the psalmist David, who was all by himself up in the mountains someplace with his sheep, and there was a bear that was attempting to discourage him from killing him. Well, David didn't get discouraged at the growling of the bear or his attempting to steal the sheep. What he did is he went and killed the bear. And the same thing with the lion. And then Saul and his brethren and the dad and everybody tried to discourage him from fighting the giant. David was almost a little midget, but this giant was just big and bulky. And David, a lot of people need encouragement today because there's so many people falling away in the church, and the people in the church don't make even one attempt to lift one another up. They fight each other, and they eat, they bite, and devour each other. And there wasn't anything in David's life either that was where people were trying to encourage him that much, except Jonathan later on. But David didn't listen to any of their discouragements whatsoever. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And so, you know, I also had a wife that I loved more than anything in the world, with the exception of the Lord. And she passed away in 1982, and we went through 17 years of persecutions from the Roman Empire and the Empire here in the United States that had become the Roman Empire. And they kept taking me into court, even after, right immediately when Susie died, they didn't even give me any chance to mourn. And my brother just died in December. He was somebody that I really enjoyed talking to and being a brother to and helping him. And there are many discouragements that happened to me. I've won a lot of people to the Lord in this church and in prison when I was there for the gospel's sake. And the people in this church have, several of them had to leave because they wanted to be on drugs again, or they wanted to live lives of fornication, or they just wanted to get into drugs or booze, and they lined up and testified falsely against me in a courtroom. Well, that didn't discourage me either. I went into prison when my wife was pregnant, and I wanted to be there when my little boy was born, and I wasn't able to. And they gave me 6 years for railroaded me on a tax charge. Said that all the property that the people were living in belonged to me, and I was living in all those properties, and I ate all the food that thousands of people, and that I should have paid taxes on it. And here we were. It was just unbelievable. And these people stood up against me and told lies that I had won to the Lord, led to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that I had paid for their children to be born and built schools for their children and homes for them. And they tried to discourage me. That would have discouraged a lot of people, but it didn't me. You hear me still preaching the gospel, because the Spirit of the Lord is in me, and discouragement doesn't discourage God at all, because I know that I have a living place, a country where I'm going to go, and that place is heaven, all right? And there isn't any kind of discouragement that's going to discourage me. As a matter of fact, the people that tried to discourage me, I've tried to encourage. And people, if you're of the Lord, you've been called to encourage people, not to discourage them. You've been called to lift people up rather than bash them down into the ground. You're supposed to back up the leader the Lord has called to be the pastor and the leader of the biggest movement of the Lord Jesus Christ here on earth right now. Now, there are many movements that have a lot of people in them, but those movements, I have listened to them, and they're not scriptural. They're not entirely scriptural. And if there's any unscripturality in them, God hates them. And a lot of people are deceived, the Bible says. But anyway, we're supposed to reprove them and tell them what they're doing wrong. You know, if people say that I'm unscriptural, then I say, well, I'm not going to get angry at you. I'm not going to want to kill you like the Vaticanites want to do. I'm just going to ask you, where am I unscriptural, brother? Tell me. Tell me where I'm unscriptural so that I can repent. Amen? But not one person comes forward in the entire world to tell me where I am wrong in the Bible. Because... if they do tell me something, and I say, you're the one that's unscriptural, because I can show them in the Bible where they're unscriptural, and so then they never hear from them again. I said, let me explain to you where you're wrong. Now here, I've got scriptures to back me up, and you don't have anything to back you up at all. And so I'm trying to uplift them instead of tear them down, but they come in and start tearing me down. How could you be against Catholicism? Well, it's because of the fact that they've martyred millions and millions of true Christians, and they're in the world today bombing countries, using our armed forces to destroy people. They bombed. They told in the Sun newspaper that there was going to be a lot of terrorism in the late fall. Just before the World Trade Center. And I told the people in my church that those people are not clairvoyant. They don't have the Spirit of God, and they're not prophets. If they're saying that, they're going to do it. Now, you watch and see for sure there's going to be some destruction. Now, it's very easy for somebody, if they're a terrorist, to tell you there's going to be terrorism in the early fall. Because they know that they've already got the World Trade Center of these Vaticanites. They know they've got it laced with bombs and everything, and they've got it all set up with the powers that be in this country to go in and out of these buildings, putting demolition bombs in there. And they've got the airports cleared and everything to where these prophecies, quote prophecies, unquote, can be fulfilled. Trying to make themselves look like prophets. Let me tell you, those people are not prophets. They're devils right out of hell. And, I wouldn't jeopardize my soul with the Lord to be saying things that were untrue. I'm telling you the truth. All right? And discouragement, all these things where the people over at one of the channels in Arkansas came and told me, she said, I'm being transferred. And she said, if you tell anybody that I'm telling you this, I'm going to say that you lied. I just laughed. I said, well, what is it? And she says, the government has got different crews of people coming into TV stations and radio stations telling them don't say anything good or bad about Tony Alamo. But just don't say anything about him whatsoever. Make it look like to the world that he's dead and gone. Ignore him because she says, those people are like the mafia, she said. They said, if we mention your name, that's how afraid they are of you. If we mention your name, they're going to take our FCC license away. And if we don't do it immediately, they're liable to have our TV station's liable to get blown up. So this is the kind of people the Vaticanites are. And that's why they're trying to make it look like I hate them. Well, I love, I don't hate their soul. I hate their sinfulness. But the Lord wants me to preach the gospel to them, and that's what I'm doing. I've never threatened to burn anybody or blow anybody's station up, and no true Christian ever would. These people are not Christians. They're the most brutal, mentally deranged, satanic people on the face of this earth. The Bible says that these people are Antichrist, and that they're the ones that the spirit of Satan is living in. Now, yes, the spirit of Satan does live in the masses of people on the face of this earth, and the spirit of the Lord lives in the few of us. We're the minority, not blacks, not Jews, but we that are Christians. Now, I got a double whammy against me because I'm a Jew and a Christian. I was born a Jew, but I have converted to Christianity. Christ was truly the number one Christian, and he's also a Jew. The first Christians were Jews. The Apostle Paul was a Jew. Matthew, Mark, John were all Jews. And the thousands of people that were saved back at that time were Jews. But I say to this person in this this woman here, don't be discouraged. Encourage yourself as the psalmist David did. Encourage yourself like I do every day. Even though I'm surrounded by a bunch of discouraging people, I encourage myself in the Lord every day. Just pick up the Bible and read it. Listen to the tapes. You can see that the tapes that you're listening to of me, you're saying that these lift you up every day. Well, just keep listening to them, sister. Amen?
Yeah.
And you'll be all right, all right? If you like, come on down and move in for a while or for the rest of your life, if you like. We have to sell these here for people like you. All right, and what else is she saying?
Your messages give me much comfort. My tape player and my radio is going bad, and I don't have extra cash right now. But I do have a CD player, though, through my television system, so it would be easier to understand. I have enjoyed your Here I Am series so much. I listen to them before I go to sleep at night, and they give me great comfort. I am a survivor, and I will survive this in time. I don't know what God's plan is for me, but I'm trying to do the best I can. Again, I thank you for continuing to send me your tapes.
Okay, well, listen, sister, good enough is not good enough. If you're living in the Lord, if you're living in the, if you have Him inside you and you're inside of Him, that's the best you can do. Okay, then God is, He's the best, and He'll be in you and He'll take over your life. That's what the Lord wants us to do, is lay our own life down and just surrender your life into Him. But anything that we do, the things that we do, good enough is never good enough. Amen?
Amen.
It's not good enough. Only when the Lord is in us and living His life in and through us is that's good enough. Amen?
Amen.
All right, what else?
I pray that God bless you and your church greatly. I would also like to receive the literature about your testimony. From what I've heard through your tapes, God had a great plan for your life.
Oh, He does for you too, sister. He's no respecter of persons. God has got so much of a new world for you everything is of the Lord. Even my wife, when she was taken on, I never would be as strong in the ministry today if she hadn't gone on. The Lord did that in mercy because I always just counted on her to preach the gospel. And she always stated that I was far too... I always tried to put my the opinions of God, the truth of God, to like slam it down people's throats. And the Lord told me that that was right after He took her. He said that that was right. Don't be... she said I was too strong, too truthful, brutally truthful, brutally honest. And she said, whatever you do, don't do any interviews. And so... there were several people calling up for interviews after she died, and the Lord actually pushed me to the telephone one day and says, take it. You know what you're saying. You know my doctrines. You know the truth. You're in the Spirit. My Spirit is in you, and I'm on you. Now just go and just be yourself. And so, lady, that's what I am. All right, sister? And don't worry about it. It's not just for me. It's for you. Your brothers, your sisters, everyone in the world, the Lord wants to live in and through you. And until you completely surrender your life to Him, you have no idea what He'll do in and through you. It's Him that does the work. So surrender yourself completely to Him. Kick back and just let Him do the driving. Amen?
Amen.
And you'll find out that you'll be surprised the kind of work that He'll do through you. He'll turn the world upside down in and through you. Okay, then what else?
I will continue to follow you on CDs now, if that's okay.
Oh, yes. Praise the Lord. It's very much okay. Then what?
All the praise to God and your ministry. Signed, Marilyn.
All right. Praise the Lord, Sister Marilyn. And then what else? Have you got another letter here?
Yes. From Zambia, Africa.
Okay.
I would firstly like to thank God for introducing me to you in what I call a unique way. I also thank you so much for the literature you sent me, The Messiah, your testimony on how you met the good Lord. This is so touching, and to tell you, Pastor, I am totally convinced and humbled to the point that I am nothing until God does what he wants through me. Just to say a few, all the material are so vital to a man's soul. I did the distribution in line with my calling. Which
See, if the Lord wouldn't have taken Susie on, I always felt that the Lord just called me to be part of the monetary system, because I was good back then. I was good at making finances and also at organizing. But she said she was so sick. She said, "You have to preach and teach as well." And I said, I know that you say more in just a few words than I say in a whole hour, and so I'd rather you do the teaching. So I'm the Bible says that the man is the head of the house, and so you're going to do it. And I never would preach until the Lord took her. Then the Lord made me come. She called me a coward because she says, "I'm the one getting all the persecution, and here you are hiding like a coward behind my skirts." And I said, "That isn't it. You're just a better preacher than I am." And she says, "You preach really good." And so I said, "Well, no, Susie, I'm not going to do it." And so when the Lord took her, here I go. And then here's all these people writing these nice letters about the way that I'm being myself, just telling you what the Lord shows me, and it helps you. And so this would not have happened if the Lord wouldn't have taken Sue. And so therefore everything is of the Lord. I couldn't understand how this cruel thing happened to us, but it happened for a reason. I would never have gotten this involved in the ministry. I never wanted to be up front. I always pushed other people up front. Even before I was saved, I pushed the Beatles, the other singers like Rovan, Best of the Beatles, and people like that. And even the Democratic Party wanted me to push them, but I didn't know politics back then. Now I know them only too well. Okay, then keep going.
I did the distribution in line with my calling, which is teaching. This I mean to make a follow-up to almost everyone I give the literature, so that I help explain in any way possible. My pressure always is to do much research, and mostly I need education. I believe you are going to receive a lot of letters from Zambia this year. I am writing so proudly and without shame, because I am already convinced that I have you as my spiritual father and master in some way. I need to have your mind in me, as I have given my all to the service of the Lord.
What you mean is, well, my mind is not mine anymore, it's the Lord's, so I guess that's okay. You need the Lord's mind in you, not mine. My mind I had to throw away. I had to just forget that, because my mind was not the mind of Christ. And so now I have the mind of Christ, and that's all we need, brother, sister, whoever you are. Is just the mind of Christ, and to have this life of God living in and through you, okay? And that's easy to do. You just let the Word of God be saturated in you, in your mind, your spirit, your soul, because this is your food, spiritual food, and your spiritual water, living food. Okay, what else?
You're different, Pastor. You're not after riches, but the heart of God. I also need to join you and serve the Lord with all my heart. I do not care where I will stay, because even here I don't have a house. I don't care what I shall have or not have, because even here I have nothing but the Lord. I don't care what I shall eat, as even here God finds his own way of feeding me. But all I care about is the knowledge I need to acquire from you and the services I have to render to the high Lord my God. If there could be anything to do so that I can earn and pay for my studies for the sake of the Lord, I am ready to do it.
Oh, you don't have to pay for anything. I don't charge for anything over here. If you need Bibles, all the tapes, I'll send you all the tapes I have. all the literature, everything. And you don't have to pay anything. I wouldn't charge anything for the things of the Lord at all. The Lord gave me eternal life free, and I give it out free. Amen?
Amen.
I'm afraid I'd go to hell if I charged anybody anything for these messages. And if people don't want to send in finances to me, I would have to go off the air. That's all. If we, unless God just sends it in the way He's been sending it in. He's been sending in enough. Not from tithes and offerings that much, but just from our own people working. That's it. And they bring the money in, and they live here at the church and the different facilities. They own their own houses now. And so, you know, but if we could certainly evangelize the entire world a lot faster if we had more funds, but we certainly don't charge anything for anything. A lot of the people that write in don't have anything to give anyway. That's just fine with us. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
I need to be near you so that I also can get the anointing that you have. This has been my pressure all along till this time. God has allowed me to reveal it to you. Pastor, I talked to my wife-to-be, and she encouraged me by saying she will only be happy to see me make a great influence on the land because of God's calling. I believe God communicated to her, just as I am praying He communicates to you, Pastor. When I was praying to know if this was what God wants me to do, just in the afternoon I received another parcel from you, in which there was a Messiah book and others like Touch Me or Die, Biting the Bullet, etc. I took this as a confirmation, but still I will wait for God to communicate to you, but I really need to come and learn and join you in the services of the Lord. It seems like you are the only one God has chosen to groom me. I understand because I have never felt the way I feel about you to any pastor, and my prayer is people like you, people should take you as an anointed man of God. You really are. I encourage anybody that comes across your literature to have time to read and share to somebody. If you are to send me the t-shirt or sweatshirt, my size is large and I would prefer white. I am saying all this because I already feel I am part of you. On the literature, you can send me much of the mass suicide, earthquake, warning to receive gifts from the Pope and the Messiah, and the rest you can mix them as the Lord directs. I am waiting for a day when God shall allow the arrangement to come and join you and begin to study practically, academically, and spiritually. Yours in the Lord's service, Yolam, from Zambia, Africa.
Well, you could come any time you like to bring get married and bring your fiance, your wife with you. And this is right. Yeah, I am an anointed person from the Lord. That's why there's so many people in the world that's trying to discourage me, but they never will. Because, and I'll tell you the reason why, and you may not believe it, but the Lord has already told me that there is a man in the Old Testament that was taken by the Lord. And his name was Enoch. And Enoch has to come back to this world. And the Lord has let me know that that is me. And that Enoch and his wife are the two witnesses. I can't get that out of my mind because it came to us in so many different ways, through fleeces and also through people's dreams and visions and my own, and Susie's as well. And she said she'd be gone for quite some time, and she said it's been almost 24 years now. April 8th, next month, the 8th of April, 2006, will be 24 years that Susie's been gone. And she says that the Lord is going to raise me back up out of the grave, and you and I will be the two witnesses. And naturally, we had to go through a lot of fire in order to be tough enough for that job. Those two people are going to be persecuted so much. People in the world are going to hate them so much, and we already see a lot of that hatred, because they preach the true word of God. They don't preach this phony, baloney gospel that you hear all these people. That's no gospel at all. And so I can't be discouraged because I know what the Lord has in store for me. I can't back up. I can't quit. I can't be discouraged. And even though there's nobody that is going to encourage me, I encourage myself with the visions, the dreams, and the wonders that the Lord Himself has given to me, and also to Sue, and other people in the church as well. And so nothing can discourage me. And if you people, the Bible states that if anyone tries to hurt these two people, God will kill them in the same way that they try to hurt us. And a lot of people that have not encouraged us, but have constantly fought with us and tried to discourage us down through years, those people, I wouldn't want to be in their boots for all the tea in China.
Amen.
I wouldn't want to be around them, or I wouldn't want to be in their shoes. That's all I can say. Now, it may be hard for you to swallow the things that I've said, but let me tell you one thing, somebody's going to be the two witnesses. Saying, I could care less if I, just as I told you before, I didn't even want to preach. I didn't want to teach. I didn't ask for what the Lord has told me is going to happen to me. I didn't ask to go through all these trials and tribulations, and neither did Sue. We're the kind of people that just like to kick back and, just let you, before I was saved, I just said, let you do your own thing. You know, I don't care. Don't come to me about anything. And now the Lord has made me be very concerned about human souls. And the more I'm concerned about it, the more the devil rises up and tries to bring false accusations against us. But you mean, you people that do that sort of thing, you might as well just stop, because if you think you're going to discourage me, you're crazy, okay? I've seen too much. The Lord has actually appeared right in front of me with my eyes wide open. I was wide awake. And I've seen a lot of signs, a lot of visions, and a lot of dream visions, and a lot of dreams from the Lord. They were definitely from the Lord. And I was saved in a supernatural way, and God put Sue and myself together in such a manner that it was, even as far as I can see, is just as supernaturally as He put Adam and Eve together. And God's, no matter what people try to do, God's word is going to come to pass. Okay? No matter what. They thought they destroyed Jesus by killing Him, hanging Him on a cross, and they buried Him, but He knew that God was going to raise Him from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that He had come to save mankind, and He never sinned, and that Satan never discouraged Him enough to sin, and never bummed Him out enough or depressed Him to the point to where He just thought He'd throw the towel in sin. Nothing is going to make me sin. Nothing's going to make me throw in the towel. So Satan, you know that your time is short, and I know that the time is short as well, and you'll see, the you people out in that world, that what I'm saying will come to pass. Okay, what's the rest? All right, now let's get into this part 22 of how to have God's life living in you. You know, there's a lot of little girls and little boys living in the church too that think that they've been planning all sorts of things and acting very smug and thing, but they're going to be in trouble with the Lord when He comes back. And when God makes His big move with Sue and myself, they're going to be wishing to God they never were the way they were. Okay, go ahead.
The Pharisees said that it was not lawful to pick the corn and eat it because it was the Sabbath. Eventually, the Lord Jesus told them, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." The Lord Jesus said, in effect, "I had the right in the ancient times to establish the Sabbath, and today I have the right to do away with the Sabbath."
Right. He had the right. He had no beginning, no ending. He was uncreated. Nothing can destroy Him. He's indestructible. And He's the same every day. All right. And so He created the heavens and the earth, and He has the right to destroy it. Amen?
Amen.
And He is going to destroy it. Okay? So you say, by what authority do you have saying these things? Well, read chapter 1 in the book of Genesis. I created the heavens and the earth, and I made the light, and I made the sun, the moon, the stars. I made everything in every planet. I made all the angels. I made everything that's on earth. And who are you to be questioning me, the Lord saith? Okay? And a lot of you are not even children that are lawful You come from a background of unmarried parents, from fornication. All right, and so you stretch out your tongue towards the Lord and say, oh, you're going to do this and that and this and that and this and that? Yes, He is. And be aware. Be afraid. Because you're in line for utter destruction. Okay, then what?
What's wrong with that if I'm the Lord of it?
Yeah. That's a funny, the Lord's asking mere humans, what's wrong with that if I'm the Lord? If I created the Sabbath, why do I not have the right to then they'll say, well, because you're the one that made the rule. And here we're just trying to keep the rules, and now you're saying we don't have to keep the rules. Well, the Sabbath in the Old Testament was merely getting people to where it was like a boot camp, that they were following a strict rule, because they had to have a day of rest. They had to have a day of rest to worship the Lord every day. But now that the Lord, the true Sabbath, has come into the world, He ended the strictness of it. He made something even more strict, that you have to live according to the Spirit. Now, anyone could keep a day. That's no big deal to just relax one day. But let me see you live in the Spirit 7 days a week. Let me see you walk in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Let me see you walk in the anointing of the Lord. You don't do that. You just want to be religious and to religiously keep a Sabbath day. But the Lord wants you to completely leave your life back where you left it and get into the Spirit and walk in the Spirit on a continuous basis to be yielding your entire life over to the Lord. That you won't do, and that's your big mistake, because we're not living according to the law of sin and death, but we're living according to the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And He says, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He doesn't say for one day, but it's every day. I'll give you rest from your lusts, from your criminal activities, from your religiousness, from your strictness, from your evilness. Leave all that behind and walk in me in the Spirit of love, which is keeping God's commandments. Okay, then what?
On my feet I have shoes. They're my shoes. At nighttime I take them off, and in the morning I put them on.
Yeah, I'm the Lord of those shoes. I can do what I want with them. As a matter of fact, I can kick them up against the wall if I want. Okay? Because they're my shoes. Amen?
Amen.
My little girl today says somebody told her she had a shoe on the wrong foot, and she says, it's okay, I don't care. They're her shoes. She'll put them on whatever foot she wants to. Amen?
Amen.
They're those muck-mucks. And she knows she's the Lord of those shoes, so you don't want anybody telling her what to do. Okay, what else?
If I want to take them off, what about that? What are you going to say about that? Are you going to say something about me putting on my clothes and putting my shoes on or taking them off? They're my shoes. They're my clothing.
They're not yours. Okay, so none of your business. Okay, then what?
I do what I want with them. I'm the Lord of my shoes and socks, my clothes, my shirt and pants, everything. If I want to put them on, I do put them on. If I want to take them off, I take them off. And that's true with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. He said, quote, I am the Lord, not only of the Sabbath, but of you too. I'm also the Lord over you. If you have the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the real Christ, the real God. You also have the real David.
Yeah, you don't have religion, you have the real Christ, the living, somebody living in you, the essence of life, the essence of divine life living in you. If I have a gold ring, the essence of it is gold. Its character is that it doesn't rust. God doesn't rust either. He doesn't get old. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's uncreated, and that's it. Okay, finish off.
You have the real land. You have the real food and the real water, all the spiritual things. You have the temple. You have Canaan land. You have the promised land. If you have the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got it all. You have the greater temple. Praise the Lord. If you have Christ, you have the Lord of the Sabbath. So it's really good. His name is the I Am. What are you going to say about that? Well, you can say, oh, my Lord, my God, and amen. The Lord said he's the Lord of the Sabbath that gives him the right to heal on the Sabbath. That's where we'll start off next time.
Okay, and then see, that's what he's the Lord of you too. If you accept him as your personal Savior, and if he is, he'll show you things that you'd never seen, that you'd never known before. You'll be in the fourth dimension. All you are is in a third dimension here now, but you have to get into the fourth dimension, which is the kingdom of God. All right, and the way that you do that, to have the real life of God living in you, not religion, but a real living God living in you, Christ with his Father by the Spirit, but just start saying these words to him right now. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my sins. And I believe God raised him from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away with the precious blood that you shed for me. Yeah, you will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away. All that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands up and praise the Lord. Say, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Now, if you want a copy of this tape or CD, it's ask for program number 124. That's 124 for the CD or tape on this program. And you can get it by emailing us at
alamoministries.com,
or you could fax us at
area code 479,
or call us at
fax at 782-7406, or call area code 479-782-7370,
or write us at
the Alamo Christian Ministries,
and then give the address.
P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505.
Okay, make sure you tune in tomorrow for part 23 of How to Have God's Life Living in You and Working in You and Giving You Eternal Life, Divine, Eternal, Never Changing, Indestructible Life, Life That Never Changes. Father God, until then, just say, Father God, we ask that you bless us and keep us. Hallelujah. And I ask that too. In Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right.